So this is the Coach to Coach for the October 2015 group, and it's Practicum 2, Monday, January 25th, 2016, with Susan Grace Beekman. I think I got it all in there. And we're gathering around the tribal fire. And welcome. I'm just noticing people are coming on. And I love that I can see it now on my computer, everybody so far that's on. So welcome Amy, who just came on.
Amy. Hello.
Hi. So here we are. I made a commitment last week that I would try to allow plenty of time for people to practice coaching. And we have two people who seem to be really ready to be clients, I noticed, from the forum. And so, you know, I want to get some coaches lined up. And I'm thinking along the line of Maura. Have you coached?
Hi, yeah. I've been a coach a couple of times. And to tell you the truth, I don't think I'm really up for it tonight. I've had a bit of a really difficult day in my mind.
Oh, okay. I didn't have a record of that. I guess it wasn't with me.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. Well, so you might be you might be up for being a client.
Yeah, that might be more like it, but yeah.
Oh, I get it. All right, well, we'll get the coaches later. I just would ask each of you a piece of paper and a pencil. And I'm going to give you the suggestion that you think, actually I have two, the thought catching cues. One is, since we were just talking about coaching, what is it that you would believe that would keep you from stepping up to try it? What belief about yourself or me or the work or anybody? Can you see if you can catch a thought or two and write it down?
Are you talking to me specifically, Maura?
Oh, no, it's the whole group.
Okay.
No, not personal.
Okay.
There's a saying in the work that there are no new thoughts. So, no, I, you are excused, Maura, because I believe in that. But this is just noticing the thoughts.
Okay.
So what is it that we might believe about coaching or about this work or whatever? And then the other thought-catching cue would be, go back to a situation this last week that was where you felt really, you know, in your minus numbers, your body compass numbers, and see yourself there in that situation and just notice what thoughts come up as you, or I'm guessing there's a feeling, a bodily sensation. And what's the belief? What judgment did you have of other people, the situation? How are you judging reality? And I guess lastly, yourself, but we do that all the time, so not so exciting. Just jot it down, just so you have those thoughts there, because we're going to work with other thought-catching work, and I wanted to want everybody to have couple or three, and see if you can just grab it.
What was the last question? I'm sorry.
The last question was, think of a situation where you were in your negative, your body compass numbers were low, like -5 or whatever in the last week.
Okay.
You can find a moment like that, and then see if what you were believing, see what you felt in your body, and then what belief is attached to that, what belief, what was the thinking.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you have, say, three things down, I was thinking it would be interesting to see if they're connected in some way, like they're roots of some bigger tree, or maybe you could put them in a cluster and you could say this is about my story that we're going to go into talking about acceptance and commitment theory. So we tend to have top 10 hits, or we have these beliefs that have roots, have tentacles. So what, if you look at those thoughts, is there anything that brings them together? What do they have in common, and see if there's a bigger thought that covers it? And just jot that down if you can find something or not. It's fine either way. We'll come back to that. Okay. So who just came on a minute ago? I don't have a name on your on my phone. 408.
Oh, that's me. I just asked a question. That's Grisela. Grisela Espinoza.
Oh, okay. Great, great. Hi, Grisela. All right. We are seeking coaches today. we put an ad out. Think about it. So I wanted to, we'll come back to all of this in a minute. I just wanted to check in with you, and particularly I think we wanted to check in, I wanted to check in with Amy, and I very much enjoyed your post to hear that the work was still working with you. Did you work with, just tell us about that process after last week.
After my meltdown.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was a melt up.
It was, but it was good.
That's what I mean. It was, melt up.
Yeah. So what happened, I worked with both Patricia and Cy last week. And, I mean, first of all, both ladies are amazing practice buddies, so thank you guys. And, I mean, Cy really hit on a doozy related to my second belief that I had listed, which was I'll never get to a healthy weight. And one, you know, her hunch, which was just so dead on, was how I'm attaching like my identity to my weight. It's who I am, and am I afraid of who I would be not being that way? Which is really interesting for me because this whole identity piece is what I've been struggling with so much since my career ended in July, which is everything I wanted, right? Be careful what you wish for because it might come true. But I never realized how much of my identity was in that career. It was everything. And not everything, but it was a lot. And so it's kind of like that common theme, I guess, is what I'm seeing, is there's this whole, my identity is changing, and isn't that part of square one, right? And it's kind of, so I'm kind of seeing this, and one thing that was interesting is when I went into square one the first time, which was when I was diagnosed, like I got involved in so much, like, okay, start doing, and just everything was going on, and then, you know, my job ended a year and a half later this past July, and okay, let's do life coaching school, and let's do Reiki, and okay, let's do this and that, and I'm getting involved, and my coach, who I've worked with here, she's a Master Martha Beck coach, she's like, square one is a time for calm, to self-care, cocoon. So I feel like I've kind of missed that piece because I was trying to do so much. And so now, like after last week, and I think that's where that came from last Monday, because I just was like at wit's end and I just had too much on my plate. So I've kind of taken a step back and I've removed some things from my plate and said no, to certain people and certain things, and I'm paying attention to me. That was a really long explanation, but I hope that made sense.
I'm guessing that probably there's not a person on the call that can't identify with that.
I'm sure.
And so I would question that it didn't make sense, actually.
Yeah. It feels good. I my husband had heard me while I was talking to you guys last week, and so he came upstairs after the call ended. He's like, are you okay? And, you know, so I continued with it. Like, I normally just, like, stuff it down, and, okay, just keep going. And I just let it all out. And it felt, I know I'm getting emotional right now. I'm an emotional mess. And I'm getting emotional right now because it was really, Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was so focused. Like, I was just like, okay, here's what I need to, like, it was the clearest I felt in a very long time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that was what I meant by, and that was a turnaround. I'm sure you got that.
Yeah.
You know, when I said, did you, maybe it was a melt up.
Melt up and
it's,
out.
It's like the lifting, that feeling of freedom, the lightness that you felt.
Totally.
Yeah. So a melt up into a different relationship with life, and that's what you're doing, and that's square one. Melting down, melting up. Well, thank you, and thank you for the safety that you, the whole group feels, all of you, that you can be there. And I noticed that Saskia, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hi.
Here. Hi.
Hi. So I'm going to ask you to be a client. I believe you.
That would be lovely.
Okay. Oh, sweetheart, I just want to coach you. That's all. But we'll we'll get you coached.
Yeah.
And are you in Portland?
I am. I am in Portland.
I guess I didn't realize that before.
I started off the class in California, but then I moved to Portland.
Oh, that's quite a transition. Well, I live 100 miles south of you.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm in Corvallis. You may not know it, but that's where I hide.
Oh, I do know that. I've gotten boots from Corvallis.
Oh, the soft stars.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the soft stars.
Cool. All right, and area code 301, who's that? You got on just a minute ago, like five after?
That's Patricia.
Okay, hi, Patricia. I just wanted to see if you were on. I like to know who's
on.
Yeah. And I didn't know if you heard Amy give you credit for your coaching.
I heard Amy, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were on at that point. I like to make sure that all that good news gets circulated.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
Okay, so are there any, you know, let's just do any questions at all that came up in terms of the work as thought work, as a square one process, because it really is the most, you know, what do I want to say? It's what we try to teach well as the best, as the tool that's the most powerful that Byron Katie offers. So, and we offer it too. So are there any questions? Because it is quite subtle and sometimes, it just goes on and on. So did anything come up for you as you were facilitating?
I have a question, Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of problems, and so did people coaching me, dealing with the other, you know, the turnaround.
Oh, yeah, that's a hard one. Yeah.
And, yeah, they seemed like a real logistical, exercise. And I wonder if there's an easy way just to explain how you make something an other.
Well, for one thing, there isn't always an other. The other is optional.
Mm-hmm.
So he betrayed me. Say that's the thought. It has to be, in order to have an other, I believe, it has to be projected on, it has to be a judgment of somebody else. Although I'm not positive that that's true. But let's just use that as an example. So it's the switching, right? So what would that be, Patricia, if it's other? He betrayed me.
I betrayed him or something.
Right. So that would be other.
But that seems like that would be me. I mean, that sounds like self. Or I betrayed myself as self.
Well, no, I betrayed myself as self.
Okay.
I betrayed him as other.
Only
certain one-liners or beliefs have the ability to switch places. And that's part of, to me, like I try to encourage people to find a way to judge somebody else or to frame it that way because then that turnaround might work better. for them, but it's like, don't strain it. If there's not a subject and an object that you can switch, then probably other doesn't apply.
And okay, that's great. Another thing that's related to that is sometimes, you know, I've heard that you can take a positive twist on the turnaround, so they don't always have to be negative. Sometimes they can be positive, and you can take a word and look at its antonym instead and see if it brings, you know, thoughts to you. And what I'm wondering is, when is it that you're drifting too far away from the original thought, that's, you know, suddenly you're not being really helpful in getting through the work? I mean, I know you're supposed to stay with the original thought, and then if there are more thoughts, then you do the same thing with these other thoughts. But how do you know when you're really straying away too far?
Well, it's actually pretty simple. You've written down the thought, and you have it in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not looking at that thought and either, you know, doing one of the turnarounds with that thought, that simple one-liner, then you're straying. So, and by the way, I just occurred to me on the other, if I could go back and pick that up.
Yeah.
I guess if you say, I hurt him, it would be other, he hurt me. So I actually would work if you have an I statement.
Okay.
But not if you don't have an object of the verb, if that makes any sense. Old-fashioned English teacher that I am. So, and don't strain it. but you can, the antonym is, or extreme opposite, would be a clear turnaround, and it would be changing the verb to the opposite. And there are occasions, you know, if the client goes somewhere and maybe they choose the opposite of another word, you know, if you've been through some turnarounds and that comes up for them and it seems to resonate, I take it because it's their mind we're observing, right? It's not how do they fit into the mold.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, this happened to me. I did that inquiry hour, and at the end, the people who made comments made more sense to me than the actual. I was a client. I didn't really want to be, but there I was.
Congratulations.
It wasn't really working super well for me the way the person was moving me through it. But the people who commented later came up with these ideas of, you know, you do this antonym and you do all this kind of stuff, and then that really started resonating for me. So I saw how that was really powerful, but then when I talked about it and tried it later, I was wondering if I was just straying too far from the meaning. Like, when should we just not make a turnaround?
And for me, it's when I get, you know, it used to be when we, you know, we've come so far in how we teach this, but it used to be that people were looking for better feeling thoughts, so they just make up something that felt better.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so maybe it would be an affirmation, you know, but it wouldn't have anything to do with the original sentence.
Okay.
That's all. You know, because we're trying to slow the mind down and understand what it has to tell us, not make up something else. And the reason that, you know, in this process called the work, you don't work with affirmations is because the mind will take that and believe that it really is true if you're trying to convince it of something else. If you're trying to manipulate with an affirmation, it's like, aha, I knew it. So if you get off too far, that's what the mind tends to do. It reinforces the original belief. Just see if that's true for you. It's what I've noticed.
So you should get a sense that you believe the original belief, or you feel more comfortable with the original belief than with the new things you're saying.
They shouldn't be made up. No, the new things could be absolutely more true or truer, but they're just not made up. They come from the turnarounds.
Okay.
They're not blue sky.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
But it used to be that when we taught this, people would come up, even the facilitators, the coaches would come up with the better thinking thoughts. feeling thought, and that's not the intention of the work. And so that's why we try so hard to stay with the original.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And were you on the Wednesday call last week?
Our Wednesday call?
The Inquiry
no,
Power
no,
Hour?
No, sorry, Wednesday is my group meeting. But yeah, I was on the Power Inquiry last week, the Wednesday one.
So Debbie is a dear, and she was one of the early participants. And we have this thing going. I bet you she's the one that came on. She is the master of opposite, turn around the opposite extreme. I bet you she's the one that came on, and she's often got really great insights because she's doing her work at the same time.
Okay, yeah. But the things that were said at the end by other people were so insightful. I was really
That could have been Debbie. That's what I was thinking. She'll come on usually at the end.
Okay.
So, and that brings up something else I wanted to point out, y'all, and that's that there's this whole process. I'll be doing it with the Master Coach training in a couple months, but there's a whole process where we can okay, there's a belief, an understanding in this work that we all have the same thoughts, that they just kind of move around and they Velcro on, you know. But we've all had the same beliefs. I'll never be at a healthy weight. I mean, there's not one person on this call that hasn't had that thought at some point in their life, right? So whether it's too thin or too fat or too whatever, you know, especially if it's woman in America, you know, we've had that thought. So you can work on that thought while other people are doing their work. So if somebody comes on with that thought and the facilitator's guiding them with the questions and the turnaround, and I encourage this on my Power Hour calls, and people will be sitting there and they'll be thinking, when did I believe that? And they'll be doing their own work while you're facilitating one person, like Patricia in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said, I'll bet, and I know there are a couple people on that Wednesday call that do that pretty regularly. And they'll say, well, in my work, I came up with this, and this is how it was for me. And it's a whole different situation, but it's the same thought. Does that make sense, you all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's and there's some of the people on Inquiry Power are really good at doing that. And I think I'm going to be on next week. I'll be the facilitator next week. I'll look and see for sure before I hang up. But I mean, they're all the facilitators are quite lovely. So yeah, I'm going to be doing the 9 a.m. Wednesday next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific. So yeah. That was a really good question, Patricia. And I think people, I'm on the certification team for people who want to get certified, and I work with people frequently. And the other one is always the trickiest one. So you would not be alone. Okay. Are there any other questions?
On the one turnaround that Martha Beck talks about where she says, don't make it grammatically correct. Can you talk a little bit about that one? She's like, make it, like when you turn it around, the sentence might not even make sense when you say it.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the exact example. I didn't watch the video this time. But it is true that sometimes you'll say a turnaround and you just do it literally, and then it has some paradoxical meaning for the person. I mean, then that's when a lot of leaps happen, but it doesn't have to make sense to you. You're just taking it and turning it around.
And then I've done it where it doesn't quite make sense, but in my mind it kind of does, but am I getting too far away from the original statement by that?
No. That's what I love about turnarounds. You know, like when I said, oh, did it melt you up?
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird kind of concept, and I think that some of those are the most interesting to look at because it catches you by surprise. It's for those of you who know about Buddhism and the practice of the koan, where you're given something, you know, a problem like what is the sound of one hand clapping is classic. To sit with that doesn't make sense, But at some other level, I think more in the right hemisphere, it does. I love those. I just think, you know, it's another way in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or
thank
not
you.
Sense? Does that not make sense? That was, thank you for setting me up there.
No problem.
Okay. Anybody else? I think Martha does the thing about my thinking a lot on that video. And I don't know, she's recently new from coming back from the 9-day school, and I think she's doing it a little bit differently, but we'll just go with, you know, the way it's taught, you know, the original. So, and my thinking, by the way, is something that can be easily overused. I think I told you this last week, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
So you can turn it around to my thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I explain it last week?
Yes.
Yeah,
but how,
I want to repeat my sentence.
Can you tell me again, though, but like how would that be overused and how would that be bad?
Well, it can kind of be a cop-out, so you don't find those original ones. And it's kind of tired after a while. The brain, whole thing about this, I think, is that it turns your quote, I know mind, or your ego is another word for that, kind of upside down and gets it all confused. But have some of you noticed that when people are asking you, you know, doing the work, and Martha talks about how it's rewiring things,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you don't even know where you are. It's like, I don't even know if, you know, that confused feeling in the middle of it.
Right.
If you use the same ones too much, and my thinking is one of them, that it doesn't challenge you as much. So it's usually I remember, we talked about it with Amy. It's usually reserved for thoughts about your body. Or other people, or like institutions or things, your car. I did one on cookies. So, but it's a thing. Okay. Are there any other questions? All right.
Susan, I have a question.
Yes.
Who
is it?
Hi. So I've been coaching someone that's trying to build up, you know, the courage to tell his parents that he's gay. But I feel like we've already worked on a few thoughts around that, and I feel like it's starting to get like a little repetitive. And I'm not sure how – I've tried to get more thoughts out, but I'm not really getting a whole lot anymore. So I was wondering, like, how should I work that out? Like, how should I – I'm not sure
well,
how –
Well, have you taken them – have you gotten in a specific situation with him? Like, you could even have him close his eyes and – okay, so you're about to tell your parents. Imagine that scene. So it's really specific. You know, see
yeah,
what
actually,
they might be saying?
Yeah, I actually did that, and so he told me everything he was feeling, and we worked on some of that, those kind of, what the thought was that was provoking all these feelings, but I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of stuck as to where to go.
Well, what you could do, and it'll be what we're doing today, the ACT tool is a nice one, and that's just that he can, it teaches mindfulness and observation, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And if you've already done the work on him with something, it could be that belief, whatever it is, they won't accept me, they'll, you know, reject me, they'll criticize me, they'll whatever. That could be one thought, and then a lot of times there's a whole root system under it. I think that's what I was talking about a little earlier when I asked you to write your thoughts. So there are probably things that are propping that belief up. So that could be another level, like, you know, like a personal religion thing, like people who don't conform are, or, you know, what are the underlying beliefs that are holding it up? And you may have already done that, too. I mean, it is true that after you've kind of explored a lot, it's good to come in with another tool.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of...
So I'll take notes, for instance, on the body. I'll ask questions about the body. How does it feel in your body? And I'll take notes on that, and I might go in with a metaphor tool, which I think you'd learn in the next practicum. And work with the body and have the body speak and give, you know, or dream or, you know, there. I think any tool, if you overuse it, then the mind gets onto it and it's tricky.
It does what? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's tricky. It'll start,
oh,
you know,
going,
manipulating
yeah.
it. Yeah. So was that your experience? Were there some underlying beliefs there, Rishma?
He did tell me that he thought his family wouldn't take it well, or his parents wouldn't take it well because he's heard them joke about gays and just homosexuality and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels his thought was that his family would not accept it or just feel awkward and. Yeah, or feel like they blame themselves, or he had a few thoughts, you know.
Yeah. So one possibility, there's a nice chapter in Loving What Is about underlying thoughts, but he could put on a piece of paper, I'm homosexual, and it means.
Okay.
And that's a good way to uncover a whole bunch of thoughts. People will reject me. I'm different. I'm, you know, what, and those would be his own beliefs, but that would be a thought catching approach.
Okay.
Because it's his own, obviously his own judgments that are causing the biggest problem since his parents haven't even said anything yet.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just to kind of get out of that because it's all hypothetical if he hasn't talked
mm-hmm.
to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would also look at the shoulds. Is he believing that he should tell them at a certain time? Because that's God's business, or that's the third kind of business. That's the business of reality. The reality is he hasn't. So where is he fighting with reality?
Yeah, I don't think he's actually fighting with that. He just feels that he'd be much happier if he could be himself around his family.
Okay, so he's just working up to it then.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So
yeah.
Lovely that you can support him.
Yeah. I just didn't want it to get too repetitive or just kind of, I don't know.
Right. So this is really, he's moving into square two. Can you see
okay.
that? I mean, because square two is the beginning of seeing the promised land or whatever. And so the work or the thought work, you're melting down the beliefs. He's in the meltdown. But it sounds to me like he's pretty clear about himself, and so he's in the square two process, which is kind of clarifying the dreaming and what is true, actually true for him. So. You know, you can support him in that. You don't. It doesn't have to all be square one.
Yeah. Okay.
Have him do
that
a dream
sense.
Thing. Yeah. You know, work on his dreams. That could be really good. Use metaphors. You know, kind of come in with some other tools because I think we have a lot of tools.
Okay.
Take him by surprise. Okay. So anybody else?
Yeah.
All right. So you have the materials on ACT in your acceptance and commitment theory, and you've probably already looked at them perhaps, or they just so you know, they're on the they're under this class in your practicum 2 class 4 book. And and you may have watched Martha talk about the watcher. She also talks about ACT. And I think the watcher is what she calls it, and other people call it the witness. It's the observer in some language. It's the same thing that we're training. It's really a mindfulness tool. So can I be the observer of myself and can I notice when I'm, and there are two things that ACT hypothesizes we do, and I think it's out of mindfulness practice. One is we get stuck when we are cognitively fused, which is basically we're believing our thoughts, or we are avoiding, experientially avoiding the feelings that happen in the body. So it really fits right in with the other tools and the other things you've been learning. And basically, I use it when, well, I can tell, I'm going to talk about just a little bit more. I like the book Happiness Trap by Russ Harrison. It's in your book. It's in your manual. It describes and gives you lots of exercises for it, but there are six core principles, and what they are trying to do is develop what they call psychological flexibility. And so one of them is you learn to diffuse painful thoughts so they won't, you know, frighten, disturb, worry, stress you, which is what we do with the work and other thoughts. ACT is also very connected with that. And the next one is the acceptance part. It's making room for unpleasant feelings so you don't have to leave or stuff it. Instead, you can actually notice that you have feelings and that you can move on. And then the third principle is connecting with the present moment. This all sounds probably familiar to you from other things you've read, the present moment. And that's called connecting with the present moment. And then the observing self or the watcher is the fourth principle. And then the last two are values and making a committed action. And values are what is true for you. And committed action is living the turnaround. So it really connects with the work, I think. But the watcher is a very important part of this process. And it's the process, it really just in Western psychology, people have until the last, say, I don't know, 30 years, have ignored that observer, the watcher, the mindful, the one that is mindfully watching. So the happiness trap basically helps you to move out of the thought, cognitive diffusion, I'm not my thinking, and to notice what the thought is. That's the diffusion. And so it's like this. I use it, and I've talked to a lot of other master coaches and teachers. It seems like people tend to use it more when you've been doing the work on something. So you already are familiar with the client, or the client is already beginning to be familiar with I think of it as clusters of beliefs or the hip parade. I think Martha refers to it that way. I think she does. But it's the beliefs that you kind of hold. It's kind of like the personal religion that you believe. And all it is observing that you're having the thought so that you aren't the thought. And that's what, you know, the radical thing about the work is it true. Most people in the world aren't aware that they have a choice, that they are being thought like they're being breathed, and they have these thoughts that come through, and they may take that as reality. We all do. We believe that our thoughts are reality. So the point of ACT is really very like a kiss and cousin to me of the work, because it's noticing that you're not your thinking. So they're very connected. So, but in ACT, you're not really actually inquiring into it. You're just naming the thought. So I notice I'm having the thought that, and whatever it is, I'll never be at a normal weight, or they'll reject me, like in the case of Ruthless clients. And so she might just say, so here are the thoughts that we've worked with. You might just notice when they revisit and just observe, as the watcher, oh, I'm having the thought that they're going to reject me. And then the next stage is I notice I'm having the thought that they're going to reject me. And that's it. You just notice and you move on. So it's really heavily focused on the observer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I will use it usually after I've done the work with somebody. When it comes back, and I know Jackie said the same thing, and they're kind of different reiterations on the same belief, and let it go. Now, the other thing, let it go as in once you observe it, it's Heidegger's principle, something that's observed changes it. Once you observe it, you are now cognitively diffused, and that's the big step from identifying with the thought. So, I'll just give you just a quick story. I want to make this really quick. After the last month at that conference, I realized I have never taken this tool seriously because I always think the work is so much better. And I thought I really should. And I had a situation in the airplane where I accidentally, my parka hit somebody like on the side of the head. So there was a zipper involved or a snap or something. Because I was up in the overhead and it fell down and I was so apologetic. And what can I do? Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Do you need me to do something? Do you want to get some, all of those, how can I make it better kind of gestures. And she was pretty determined to be pissed through the whole flight. And it was 2.5 or 3 hours and she and her friend kept giving me the look, through the whole flight. And that is my worst shame, my worst thought that I connect with and that I feel like I don't even have a choice because it hits me in the body. I'll hurt somebody because I did something wrong. It's huge. It's like it's everything to me. So I had to sit with it, and it was like, oh, I'm having the thought I hurt somebody because I did something wrong. Still having the thought that I hurt somebody. Where is it in my body? And mine is very heavy, and especially in the solar below the, like around the navel. And observing it and just noticing. Now, it's not, for me, it's not as fast as the work because it took a while to untangle just observing it. But by the end of that flight, I was on a shuttle with her, you might know it, when I got to the airport, and I realized it was, it didn't have that loaded feeling in the body, and I did not do the work on it. So that's how you can use it, particularly for those personal religions, those really deeply rooted beliefs. It's like, oh, I'm having that thought again. Okay, you're having the thought that. So that's kind of how I think of using it and how I tend to use it with clients. It's kind of like a really quick reminder of the inquiry that you don't have to believe the thoughts. So you all have thoughts in front of you. Did you find that they were connected? Could somebody share about that? I said, can you see connections between them?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, who is this?
This is Ara.
Hi, Ara. Do you want to share?
Hi. I noticed that a lot of my thoughts come back to self-doubt, and the story might be lumped under I'm not good enough.
And they reject it. Oh, they're leaving me out. I've been left out.
What?
Is that... What did you say? Oh, self-doubt. I thought you said self-doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
of course, that could
myself.
Be related too, huh?
Yeah.
Guess what, Ara? You don't get that to yourself. Everybody has it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Thanks.
See, I'm not good enough. Yeah. It's like, it seems to be ubiquitous. I had Katie ask an audience of 350 people when I was there who had that thought, and everybody raised their hand. It seems to be, it's part of a lizard, right? The lizard, the lack, I'm not good enough, there's not enough.
That's another one for me.
There's not enough.
Yeah. And that's the big word for me, I guess.
Right. So that would just be when it comes up. The reason I was looking for the connection is, and I believe there is one here, because I think of the cluster. I think they cluster up. And so, like you said, I have a lot of enough issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the not enough story would be when you have several beliefs that support a story.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's also part of ACT. They talk about naming the story. And the hit parade, that's also out of ACT. You know, what are your top five beliefs? Top five beliefs. Beliefs. And it's a good thing to do with a client, you know, especially early on, you know, or else you can keep a list for them and then you can come back. So we're going to use those in the coaching, and I'd like to move along so people can get some coaching experience. Rather than doing a drill, I would like to really get a chance this time to sink in and let people experience being coached and coaching, and so I can support the coaches. So originally I was saying, well, let's do a drill and we'll practice ACT. I'd love you to practice it with each other and with your clients and with yourself most of all. Like, just notice, where is it that you just, you know, have these repetitive thoughts and name them? And see if the naming changes them. Oh, there's one other little point that about this that I think it's a whole other story. And I like Gay Hendricks' book on, I think it's The Big Leap or Giant Leap or something. And he talks about how when you're growing and you're really expanding into creativity, you will have what he calls, when you're moving from your zone of competence to your zone of unique genius in the world. We tend to live in competence. We do what we're comfortable doing because we like to be competent. We don't want to take the next leap. And he calls that upper limiting. And this isn't ACT, but I think it's connected in, as far as how to work with clients with it, because I will notice that they are having the thoughts that would keep them from taking the next step, and they frequently come when they're ready for the next step, like, for instance, Gisela's client. And that's just, it's what we do. We tend to do it because for whatever reason, because we're human beings. And Hendrick's suggestion is that you just notice that you're having the thought, very similar, and go and do something else, you know, keep on doing what you do next, and then kind of look for a breakthrough into a different way of thinking or a leap into being ready to take the next step. And that's often how creativity works, because we have all this resistance that wants to keep us the way, it's the ego, keeping us the way we've always been. There's a lot for the ego to lose. And so we keep this limiting, the ceiling on all the time without even knowing it. So that's another way that you could use ACT when you notice, you know, you start working with a client on what their beliefs are that are keeping them from, you know, upper limiting them from taking the next step into their own creativity. And often it can really build up and there can really be a firestorm of thoughts. And then, you know, I have a hunch that you want to paint again, or tell me why you haven't set up your painting studio. I thought, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's like, I have a hunch that you have some thoughts that are in the way. Let's see if we can sort of work with observing those as a watcher this week and just notice what thoughts come up as you think about taking the next step toward a more creative life. So, but that's how I often use it too. Okay. So any questions about that or thoughts about that? Okay, so I want you to look at your thoughts and choose one of them. Circle it. And we're going to sing happy birthday together, and you can use your pet thought instead of happy birthday for the words. Does everybody have one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll take the one I okay. So I'll start, but you guys join me, please. You'll want to if you're my voice. So maybe I should do that thought. They won't want to hear my voice. But yeah, I'll think they won't want to hear my voice. It is one of my thoughts. So everybody join me. I'll start again. They won't want to hear my voice. 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 That's a talking diffusion activity. It kind of makes it seem ridiculous, doesn't it? I don't know if I'll ever be able to think that again. All right. So I would like to have for you to have the experience of coaching. You may use the work or, you know, really this is a good time to get to pull together the tools that you've been using. And, you know, it's the tell me where I'm wrong and say more and why and, you know, finding the thought, but kind of getting into the thought. And by the way, you have a shortcut to the thought because they have some things in front of them, right? Everybody wrote something down. So you could go in that way and say, so when did you experience that thought? And then you're kind of ready to go once you frame it up. And then you can take it through the work, or you can do acceptance and commitment therapy, which would just be to notice when I'm having the thought that, you know, you can use just really any thought catching and thought dissolving tool that you have, as you would as a coach. And it doesn't have to be a perfect coaching session. It doesn't have to be anything but a chance to practice thought finding, thought catching, you know, whatever you want to call it, and some form of inquiry and cognitive diffusion. So, who would like to coach? I'll start with that. Deborah is going to be a client, and so is Saskia. So we just need coaches. I'm looking at you, Brisella. Would you be willing?
I'm sorry.
Are you on? Will you be willing to coach?
Sure, I'll try.
Okay. So, sweetheart, to quote a friend, make sure you have the work in front of you like it is in the manual, because you don't have to be real special at this. You can just ask the questions. It sounds like you already have been using it.
Yeah.
And have a pencil and paper and trust yourself. So out here, are you good to go?
Okay, I think so.
Okay, all right. So I think that we should start with Saskia as the client. Okay? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay. Brisella and Saskia. And everybody else, listen, do your own work. Think of a time that you thought that thing. And do this thing I was talking about where you're observing at the same time that you're noticing how it's played out in your life. Okay?
Hi, Saskia.
Hi, Grisela.
All right. So did you write down a thought, or did you want to talk about your day?
Well, I will talk about, well, what's big for me right now is I kind of feel like my life has dissolved in the past month or so, and I never knew I would be here, but I left my husband, and now he's being really mean. I know I might not be making much sense, but I guess it's just really hard.
No, you're fine.
Scary. And I mean, I didn't, like, I guess I left physically, but like, he said he didn't want to be with me, and then he had an affair, and now he's being really mean and, like, bringing up stuff that I did, like, 11 years ago, and I just feel, like, scared and lost, and, like, I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
So, Grisela, you may not know. I'm just going to interrupt for a second. Saskia has asked for coaching for more than today and right now. She's asked people to step up and coach her. So I imagine a lot of the people here in this particular pod of the tribe are going to be there for her. We're all holding that. So this is just one little piece, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, tell me more about what happened today, or what has gone through your mind today.
Well, last night he like bombarded me with like 60 plus texts about all these ways that I have like not kind of been enough, and like things that I did that he's never forgiven me for, and like he read my journal like 6 years ago, and he's bringing back stuff that he read in there, and it's like I feel like I can't defend myself. It's like I can only say like okay, I just feel like an awful person, but yet I don't know where to go. I feel like backed into a corner.
Yeah, no, this is a tough time. You could feel free to just keep opening up and share whatever is present for you right now. Susan, I'm not sure like how long to questioning.
Yeah, you know, so here's where I would go, and again, you know, this is a big one, right? And we don't usually do these just in 10 minutes. So I would wonder, I mean, I hear that she's believing what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it could, I could go that way. I bet you that everybody has some possibility where they might go. I'm wondering about the text. Like, I mean, this is just totally intuitive, but I'm just wondering, and I'm wondering why she'd be reading the text and believing the text. So that might be one way in. What do you think, Grisela?
Well, I wanted to add, I don't know, I guess I get a little, and this might be just me, but I get a little stuck when I feel, when people are in an emotional, very emotional place, and I want to start just comforting instead of crying more.
Okay. So do you want to have her tell you more? We have a tool for that.
Okay.
I mean, you want it now. Here's the problem. Here's the situation. When somebody's grieving, I believe that we listen to the whole story. You know, I don't think that's story fondling. I really want to hear them, and I want to hear the places, and I want to listen for those beliefs. So, and that usually takes a while. That's usually if somebody's in the middle of their stuff, you know, it might take half of the first session.
Mm-hmm.
Because she needs to be witnessed by this compassionate watcher, right? A compassionate witness. So I'm going to support you and just suggest that you offer that, and that we all are, and that's okay. And I will have to stop it at some point, but just see where it goes. And that would be say more and, you know, deep listening and just see what happens.
Okay, so I could just be making a note of everything she's telling me, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you might, then later on, you're gathering thoughts, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think you have a really one sweet heart that you said that. I mean, it just tells me a lot about you. It's like, I just want to, you know, I want to hold the space for her to have her feelings. I think that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah, I was trying to say something like that. I was just
checking
my head.
Yeah. So I understand that. We'll see what happens, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Saskia, I understand this is a very difficult time. Can you tell me more about what the text you received and just what that brought up for you?
Well, here's the deal. I left in December, 15th, and he didn't really put up a fight at all. I took the boys and we easily came up to Portland, and I packed up my whole life where I thought I was gonna be and moved, and now I'm living by myself with the boys. And he didn't, he had his wedding ring up, days after I left, and he had this, big thing of that he was going to be on, The Voice, and there's, some people that have told me, I don't know if there's, mental stuff going on with him, but I'm trying not to, it's how much responsibility do I take and how much am I fuck you, you're being an asshole. You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You're not good enough to be on The Voice. So his audition was yesterday from The Voice. And clearly he didn't get called back. And now he's just livid. Now that he's crashed back to reality and now he's so mad and he's at the very beginning of our relationship, I had known Will 3 weeks, and we were, it was that I'm madly in love with you after 3 weeks thing, I want to be with you. And then I left and went to England for 8 weeks. And by the end, I had a flirting romance. I mean, he's been calling it a romance, a flirting thing, and kissed another guy a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was embarrassed, and I didn't want to tell Will, and I didn't want to ruin our relationship, so I didn't tell him. I recognize I could have acted mm-hmm. differently. I recognize my fault in this. But, that was 11 years ago, and he keeps bringing it up. He's bringing it up, and then he's bringing up stuff he read in my journal, of dreams I had and how hurtful they, how could they're so, hurtful. It's fucking crazy. And 60 plus texts he texted me last night, just over and over, and I was like in my house by myself feeling like I was not safe. I can't believe this is my life right now. I just can't believe it. I don't know what I did. And it's how much responsibility, when do you, what is
okay,
it,
I'm gonna
not
put,
my fault?
I'm going to put the pause button on for just a second. So what do you think, Rosella? And keep in mind that we're just so holding you in this, Saskia.
Thanks. I know I'm like not really supposed to bring big stuff, but this is like my life.
Well, it is big stuff, and we all are going to have clients like this, so we might as well. You know, this is real, right?
Yeah.
So, what did you catch any thoughts there, Priscilla?
Yeah. When she said, "What did I do wrong?"
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to start asking her, I don't know, I go back and forth because when I hear those thoughts, then I just kind of want to start contradicting and just telling her, well, you didn't do anything wrong, but I don't know if that's the way I should go. And then,
so honey, start, just change it into a statement. Find the thought. What would it be?
The thought?
Me?
No, that Grisella.
No.
I did something wrong. Right?
Uh-huh.
I flipped it and made it a statement because it's implied when she said, what did I do wrong, she implies that she thinks she did something wrong. Right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So why don't you take that to inquiry? You did something wrong. Is it true? And we're going to take a little longer with this because I think it's really crucial that we all hear this and then we do a dialogue about it. So just do the work, and you don't have to be particularly graceful. Just see what happens.
Okay. I have a question. Is it all right to go kind of
I think you're cutting out a little bit in my world. I don't know about other people. Are you all hearing her?
No, I didn't hear her.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So, Grisella, are you there?
I just took off my headphones. Can you hear me now?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, what were you asking? Yes, I can. What were you asking?
I was just asking if, when somebody's sharing and just in a lot of emotion, I'm not sure when to take it to inquiry. I feel like I should give them that space to just keep kind of sharing and kind of letting the emotion out. So,
well, yes, and let's just see. Saskia, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm good.
Okay. Sometimes you have to interrupt, even if it doesn't seem particularly kind.
Okay.
Grisella, and the reason I suggested that, and it seemed like a really crucial point because it was that thought to me was huge. She believes
yeah.
she did something wrong. And we have a lot of evidence to the contrary already, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So go back to when she was getting the text and just ask her the question, I did something wrong. Is it true? And it could be about in the past in the relationship, and that's why this is happening. But it's, I did something wrong, I think is a really important question for her.
Okay.
And sometimes it's actually kind to disrupt it because it, you know,
okay.
it gives it the diffusion thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Saskia, if you could just go back to that moment where you received the text and you opened it and you started reading everything he put on there, and then you got the thought, I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know when you're there, when you're feeling the emotion again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did something wrong. Is it true?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Yes.
Okay, when you believe this thought and you hold it in your mind, how do you react? What happens?
Pause just a second. You're going to need to repeat this thought a lot. different. Oh, okay. So when you the thought, you did something wrong. So trying to keep repeating so she can find it and hold her space. Okay?
Okay. So when you hold the thought that I did something wrong, how do you react or what happens?
I feel devastated and like a horrible person and like it's all my fault and that like he's right in being so mad.
How do you feel in your body? What sensations? Physical reactions?
It's like I just want to like I kind of curl up and my chest gets tight. I want to like curl up and disappear. And then, like, my legs go up and, like, my air goes higher. And, like, I stop getting mad, you know? It's like something goes like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, where I want to be like, fuck you, you're an asshole. It's like, I'm like,
mm. Yeah. Okay, now let's just think for a moment. If you couldn't think this thought that I did something wrong, if for just a moment you didn't have it in your mind, you couldn't think it, how would you be without this thought, this belief that you did something wrong? Imagine your life, how you would feel physically, just how it would play out in your life.
I would feel a shit ton better.
Yeah.
I think as I do it, I kind of, like, I can feel my voice get lower and kind of, like, ground down and almost, like, not feel like I have to defend myself so much. It's interesting. I feel like an adult rather than like a scared child.
Yeah, you do sound different. Yeah.
And I can kind of get in touch of the like, fuck off. Like I can, I feel stronger.
Okay. That's great. Okay, anything else that comes to mind?
I feel more like present here in where like now.
Mhm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to try some turnaround with this statement, I did something wrong.
Okay.
First, let's turn it around to the opposite. Can you think of an opposite for I did something wrong?
I didn't do something wrong.
Yeah. How does that feel for you?
Is
it still true?
I mean, truthfully, if I think of a specific thing, I have a hard time finding that. That's why I think I get stuck. Okay, I didn't do something wrong. I'm just human. Yeah, that's something that kind of, I guess, hit something. It's like I can't be perfect for everybody. I can't make everybody happy. Like, I'm just fucking, like, human.
Yeah, you don't have to make anybody happy. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to the next turnaround. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't do something wrong. I didn't do something wrong. What's the thing? What's the thought? I did something wrong.
I did something wrong, yes. So we did the opposite right now. So now let's do the, let's go with the self.
I did something. I mean, all I can think of is I did something right now. And what I really want to say is the right thing I did was leave the fucking wackadoodle and be in a safe spot with my boys. That's what I can say right now. That feels right.
Okay, you know, I'm going to call time here because I think there's... Okay, no, I'm not. Griselle, you can do, have her find three examples, and then we'll stop. She gave one.
Oh. I'm sorry, what, three examples of what?
Of how she did something right.
Oh, okay, yeah. So can you tell me three examples where you did something right that you can think of?
I left so unbelievably gracefully and kindly. I have been there so well for my boys throughout this. So, as well as I can be. Those are my
examples. As well as what? I'm sorry.
Those are my examples.
Those are great examples.
And I keep coming to class, even though I feel like my life is falling apart. I've made every single class. So I did that right.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Saskia.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both so much. This group just goes for it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for homework, or whatever, for follow-up, Griselle, in this situation, do you have any ideas?
Follow-up. No, I don't, I'm not sure.
Well, I'll just offer something. You might have her make a list of the things that she's doing right each day. And also, I might add, I did something, you know, she said I'm doing something right for myself. Specifically, how is she doing things right for herself?
Okay.
And when you were going to turn it around to self, would it be I did something wrong for myself in that situation? Is that what you were thinking?
I think, but I wasn't sure. So then when I kept thinking about it, it wasn't making sense. So I was interested.
Well, I think it could be very interesting in that particular situation. For Saskia, can you find that? I did something wrong for myself in that at that time last night with the barrage of text.
I mean, I think that I let it really affect me, and that it was like I almost like ate his poison. You know, it's like.
So knowing that has truth in it, what might you do, I don't know, tomorrow or the next day? How might it be different? How might you live that turnaround?
Well, I think that that's kind of where I'm struggling with, like, boundaries. Like, can I say, I don't want to text you about this? You know, I don't want to defend myself. Like,
so why would you believe that you couldn't say that? And those are that. I mean, write it down, and somebody's going to coach you. You've got a whole team of people.
Yeah.
Can't wait to coach you.
So I think
you have a cluster of beliefs around, you know, taking really good, kind care of your sweet self right now. What would keep you from doing that? And see if you can get a list and you can get some coaching on that.
Okay.
Is it okay if we talk about you now or ask you questions and if you, since you volunteer?
I mean, you guys know me better probably than anybody.
Maybe than you do some days right now.
I know, right?
Part of being in square one. You're like totally melted.
I know. I am clearly melting down. No, that's not true.
We all know it. We all know it. Yeah, let's hear from, I'd love to hear people just say your name and say what your thoughts are here. And also, please, Grisella, that was wonderful, the calm spot that you held her in, that tenderness, you let her have her experience.
It was really, you were really beautiful in that.
Thank you.
It's like that thing that Martha quotes about being the calm, if you are troubled, I am not, you know, that one, come and be with me, that you held that space. So let's hear from the group. What are your thoughts, questions, comments, and so forth? And just say your name and say what you have to, would like to
Laura.
Say or ask.
It's Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'm listening to, and hi, Saskia. That was amazing.
Hi.
Priscilla. and my heart goes out to you. I have a question, and Susan, I'm looking to your guidance for this and also for Saskia's sake. Best case scenario, her husband, her ex-husband, is a wackadoodle asshole, and he's angry, and hence he sends her 60 texts in one night. Worst case scenario, you know, you have a client, be it Saskia or whomever, who is in potential danger. You know, like, you know, he's obsessive, he won't stop calling, he won't, you know, whatever. How do you broach something like that if you have a marmoset that's going off saying, this is crazy, like this kind of obsessive behavior is really crazy, does she need to be protected in some way?
Right. Well, and that is actually your ethical responsibility. That's a really good question. I mean, like, say he's stalking her, right?
Yeah.
Right. So then you would look at the community resources for that, you know. And there are a lot of resources like that around, like in Portland or whatever. The Center for Rape and Domestic Violence or whatever. There are experts, and she could get support to be safe and a group to work with. Mm. And you also have a legal obligation if you think he's abusing her.
Okay.
there are some really good calls I'm going to recommend for you that are on Coach Spot by Terry DeMayo and another woman about suicide and the ethics of coaching. And you'll have, I think, one section on ethics, so you can get into that a little bit more later. But it's true that you do need to take some action in some cases. And I don't know if this is one of them. But I'm thinking that Saskia needs a lot of support right now. And I think she needs it in the community that she's in as well as from us. Tell me where I'm wrong, Saskia.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think so. I guess I just, like, I don't know how to get the space to do it. Like, because I have my two little boys, and it's like I'm...
Right. Okay. So that would be...
I don't know
how... So who would like to coach her to take those turtle steps to get support? Who would like to do that part of the coaching?
I can basically only do it after I put the kids to bed, too. So there's a time constraint.
Well, do we know that that's true?
No, we don't know that's true. I guess it's true. I can let my kids watch television, which that's a whole nother coaching.
Well, there may be other options you haven't thought about. Like, for instance, that a place that is to support women who have children and who are concerned about, if nothing else, psychological abuse, might have a place for the kids to play.
That's true.
Like that. Would someone like to coach her through both steps? Like, just kind of give her the support for taking steps to get a more of a community around her, more support. And that's square three work.
I could try. This is Aura.
Okay, good, Aura. I think that's brilliant. You know, and it really is just, what are you going to do today? What phone calls have you made? Let's see what we see online, you know, like that.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
And I also have a question, too.
Uh-huh.
When she was saying, I can't believe this is my life, I know I've felt something similar, and it tends to freeze me. Like, I feel frozen because you're in this weird limbo. But are there ways to work on that to where, I don't know, like you ground yourself in the present situation or somehow can help to believe it and kind of fight that or ease that frozen feeling?
Well, you know, I would go in, and by the way, you can do this in your coaching of her too. You know, I'm not saying only do that, but it would be going in and having her look closely at what exactly she's talking about when she says this is her life. And then find out if that's true.
Okay.
And take that through the questions. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That this is really,
like,
her life. That's
get it
a very
specific?
Yeah, like that she's going to be answering 60 texts by Wackadoodle every night. You know, that's her life.
Okay.
You know, or whatever. Okay, so I'm looking at the time here, and I want to make sure that we have a way for Saskia to get more coaching. And, Deborah, you didn't get coached today. I think you also wanted to be coached. So we have some clients, and this is a really good opportunity for you guys because I've never met a more DAO group. You know, I think people really want to get coached here, and you're the coaches. So can you match up online, or do you want to take a minute to do that now?
This is Laura. I would love to work with one of you if you'd like to work with me. Saskia or Deborah?
Sure. I mean,
I have a hunch for Saskia as well, which, you know, we can share offline. It might start a whole.
Okay. Are you willing to work with both?
Pardon, am I, Laura, willing to work with both?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Laura will work with both of you.
Cool.
And Deborah, are you still on? I'll just put that on the forum then for you, Laura. Or you can contact her actually.
Yeah, I'll contact both and
Deborah. Okay. All right. And if you need any support, you know, got my email, and this is my last, unfortunately, my last class with this amazing group. I could just work with you forever, but it won't happen. Anybody else want to step forward? If you don't want to do it right now on this call, please do so, though, if you're called to, because this is the best you can get.
It's Amy.
Yes.
It's Amy. Hi. I'm in the midst of typing Saskia an email, because Saskia, we connected a little while ago. You were from close by here in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
So I was actually just typing you up an email because I can talk to you when I put my little ones down. So I don't know if maybe that helps. I've been listening to them run around upstairs this entire call. So I get it. It can be a challenge. So I'll shoot you an email. I'm happy to practice with anyone. So if anybody, depending on times and stuff like that. So Deborah, you too, if you're still there, I'll send you guys an email.
Brilliant.
Great.
Brilliant.
I just want to put it out there. This is Saskia again. I really, if anybody has hints or hunches or insights, even ones that you're like, I don't know, I'm like so open and available, and like I guess I'm asking for help because I really want to like move through this. So I'm grateful to be in this class because I feel like somehow it's like lined up and somehow you guys are helping me through this, just even knowing like I get to come to class.
Totally. And Susan, actually, on those lines, it's Amy again. I have a question, and I want to know the thoughts here. So one thing that Saskia had said while Grisella was you know going through the work with her, she was really stuck on the I did something wrong and that turnaround, and she was stuck on something, right? I think everybody heard that. My thought was like, if I was talking with her, could we hone in on that and kind of I don't want to cross the line of the story fondling, but like I was thinking maybe that there was something there to kind of hone in on and talk about why are you feeling stuck there? What is it that's making you feel stuck and kind of going in that angle? Would that be appropriate?
Yep. Who was this again?
It's Amy.
Amy, good. Yeah. I think that would be great.
The same thing,
you know, there are
yet.
So many different directions, and I think Saskia senses that, which is why she's saying, help, you guys are seeing things I'm not seeing. I'm in the muck, right?
Yeah.
I'm in it. So, you know, she's like all gooed up, and she can't see. So that's why she's such a great client. Saskia, you did post today, and so you are in the forum for everybody. And you know,
yeah.
There could be a dialogue right there in the forum. So here's what came to me tonight, Saskia. Here's what I was thinking. Let's get this going because we do have a way to communicate around that.
Yeah. Cool.
So I wish I lived in Portland, actually, I was thinking, because here I am. At the beginning, I was saying, I'm close. But 100 miles
I know.
Right there. So I would like to stay in touch, though. And
okay.
will you check in with me like in a month and tell me how things are going and where you're? I really feel like part of this is the thought. You've really got to do some thought work here, sweetie. And
okay.
The other half is really you need resources. If you really are in a new community, and by the way, this is true for everybody, you know, and you've got a client that doesn't have the support that she needs, you know, it's hard to move forward if you don't feel really supported. So really look at the support system.
Okay.
And Saskia, and also anybody that works with her. Okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetie. So, my gosh. So ask any questions on forum, write me an email. I won't be, you know, this is the last one that we have together. And thank you for being so open. group F. We got deep here. And I hear that you all want freedom. So that's what I want for you. Are there any other questions?
Susan, this is not a question, but yes. Dina just wanted me to communicate to you that she couldn't be on the call today, in the class today, because she's out of town.
Now, who was that?
Dina.
Oh, Dina. Oh, thank you. I didn't get that from before. That's good to know. I'm hoping that all of you will. I mean, this is just a teeniest little peek at this work. So, and Saskia, I know you've been to the school, haven't you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
A long time ago, yeah. So you can do, and this is a good thing, by the way, I meant to say to all of you, my heart is really open right now, and I forget the head stuff. On thework.com, you can find a helpline that is free. And every person on that helpline has come almost to the point of certification by Byron Katie.
Cool.
And it's free 24/7 because a lot of people are in Europe.
Cool.
This the work is, I would say, I just went to the certification and half the people were from Europe. So that's always available. Speaking of support, Saskia, that's there.
That's good to know. Cool.
And they'll walk you through the worksheet and so forth. The other thing for everyone to know is, and by the way, you all as coaches, I think for me that helped me to relax about some of the parts of being over-responsible. I mean, I have the responsibility to make sure my client's safe and that I refer her, I mean, to more kinds of therapy or whatever, you know. What the fact that the helpline is there has helped me with my sense of over-responsibility. It's like they can call them, and it's a really good service. The other thing is that on thework.com, and I think this is mentioned in your materials, do the work, it has a one belief at a time worksheet. And so for you to keep warm, and keep practicing, you can do the work on yourself. And it's basically, it used to be called the self-facilitation worksheet. So that is a really good option. There's also an app. And I don't know if the newest one is out, but there's an app for the work that's like $1 or $2. And the newest one was going to be, they showed it, they demoed it at the beginning of the month, and I think it's going to be out really soon. I haven't checked. But you can keep it with you, and it kind of guides you through the work when you're going through your day and you notice those thoughts. And really, for me, doing the work on myself and really drinking it and listening is how I've learned the best. So I invite you all to that, and come to Power Hour next Wednesday, and let's stay in touch, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Blessings.
Okay, now. Bye.
So long for now. Bye.
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 Bye.